Welcome to The Last American Vagabond. I have a special guest joining me today, somebody that I'm excited to talk to, because you've already seen his music on The Last American Vagabond, and it is some of the music that some of the work in general today that I have been trying to highlight for you to show you that there are people out there in the music industry and other walks of life that are fighting for you, and that's what this is all about supporting the people who are supporting you. So joining me today is Sivad to discuss his music and his perspective on what's going on today. So thank you so much for joining me today, Sivad. How are you?
I'm good, brother. I'm glad to be here. And a special shout out to your listeners. And I'm happy that they also like the music because they're sending me comments and telling me exactly where they're coming from and they're coming from you. So
nice.
I'm very happy.
Well, that makes me really happy to hear. I mean, and that really just shows you the level of community that's being created more so than than I've seen in for a long time. You know, people are realizing two things, in my opinion, that there's more that believe the same things that they do than they realize, and that they need to continue to flesh that out. And I think your music is, you know, music in a similar way that I see things like stand-up comedy or different ways, or they have this subtle way of reaching you without you realizing it's happening. Right. So you enjoy the song, the melody, and suddenly you realize, though, you know, you're talking truth and it's kind of getting into their mind instead. So we can get into a lot of that. But why don't we start off with first of all, have you been making music and lyrics around freedom kind of focused concepts for before COVID-19, or did that only start around COVID-19 and you felt you had to stand up and, you know, talk about the music you're making in that regard today?
No, definitely. My music was always about what I heard in the streets, what the people were saying. And basically, I'm from Jamaica. I'm from a small Caribbean country that fight of slavery and all of that, and being a black person in this time or that time before COVID, I've always been the kind of person that was revolutionary and was always trying to voice what the people is saying, because sometimes the politicians are not listening. Sometimes the people that were in power weren't really listening to what the people were saying. So I thought that my job was, as a musician and as a singer, was to reverberate what the people are saying in my music, so more people can hear. And that was my goal, and that was my mission from the start. From me being a musician, I've always been the kind of person that was always speaking on behalf of the people.
Right. You mentioned to me in our conversations before that Bob Marley was somebody who you looked up to growing up in that regard. Could you speak on that for me for a second?
Yeah, he's my role model. He's the person that I, in his time, in the 70s, before I was even born, he was the cry of the people. If you wanted to know what is the time, what was happening in his era, you have to listen to his music. Get Up, Stand Up, One Love, Freedom. You have to listen to him. And then you will know exactly what the people were saying at that time and at that point. So I think he's a part of history. He's a part of the history of the time that I wasn't here. So if I want to know what was happening before I was on this planet, I have to listen to Bob Marley, in Jamaica especially. So now I'm a small Caribbean guy, so that's where it started from.
Well, on the topic of Bob Marley, since we're talking about it in general, you know, the history there is really interesting, because you make a great point that especially at that time, you would hear something completely different on the news about what was going on, especially in Jamaica, where Bob Marley was, you know, showing that community and showing that there's another story there. So just give me thoughts on general about what happened to him and the whole, you know, conspiracy around what actually happened, and, you know, that, any thoughts on that?
Well, based on what I've heard and what I've seen, because I am a musician from Jamaica, so I have contacts with his sons, and based on what we know now is that, okay, fine, he died of cancer. But to me, it would seem like there's something deeper going on. Why? Because he was so health conscious. He was a vegan. And he was the kind of person that was so health conscious that it's very unlikely that somebody like him would develop such of a cancer. But then again, his father was a European. So, I mean, that was a part of the European culture, so to speak, of having that kind of a cancer, which is skin cancer. So, you know, it's possible that it was natural, but it's highly unlikely because of the way that he lived his life. So we don't know. And I can't sit here and speculate on how it went, but
absolutely,
I don't think it's exactly the way it was and exactly the way that we saw it, because he was the kind of person that was active. He was rocking the boat at the time.
Right. All right. He was leading, you know, the resistance. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, there is cause for him to be silenced, to speak.
He was most definitely silenced in many different ways, as I'm sure you agree with. Then that would be the final silencing, if that's what we're theorizing about. But ultimately, exactly. I agree that, I mean, first of all, it's not something we, historically speaking, people in that exact position, like you're saying, rocking the boat, have a historical coincidental, you know, of having things like that sort of happen. But theorizing is not something we're diving into. But so let's go forward on your music and how that blossomed your mindset as a younger person, and it grew into your desire to push back against what's happening. So when did that start for you? When did you start deciding to get into the music business?
Well, I started from I was like 19. I started from school, because I was always the go-to person in primary school. I don't know if you termed the school as the same, but in primary school, meaning in between the ages of like 6 to 9 or to 10, I was always the go-to person that they go to for a Christmas show where the kids come and perform, and dancing. That was always my stuff, and singing. So it started for me musically at a tender age, because my mother was a beautiful singer, and she was a part of the church choir, and she was actually the lead singer for the church choir. So it started in my house. She was always singing, and I was always listening, and I always wanted to be like her, because I came from a single parent home. So I was always trying to be like her, because she was always around the house cooking and singing and doing all kinds of stuff. And I was always just listening, just sitting there, just listening. Oh my God, look at this woman. And so it blossomed from there. And then she taught me how to play the piano. Nice. And she also brought me into the church choir, and I started singing there. But where the actual movement started for me was from Bob Marley, of course. And then it started for me, I wanted to be a singer. I wanted when I was not here on this planet, that people would have my voice and would always be hearing it, and it would always stand for something, and it would always mean something, and not just be nothing. Because there's a lot of music out there that means nothing. Right. It's just people drinking and partying and doing their stuff, and that's fine, because that's freedom, right? But I always wanted my stuff to stand for something and to live forever, and no matter if I'm not here, somebody like Freedom in particular, I viewed it as being a capsule that I would bury for the future generations to dig it up one day and listen to it and say, okay, this was how life was. This was how free we were. So we're actually not free now. And it would actually wake them up to actually visualize the fact that, because right now we're in a state where we're semi-free. But because of the way things are going now, the future generation will never, ever know the freedom that we knew.
Right.
As young people, right? So I wanted this to be a wake-up call, just in case it doesn't work out the way we planned it and it actually goes forward the way it's going now, because it's actually barreling down the hill. We don't know where it's going to end up. We're fighting to keep us free, but it's still barreling down the hill. And it's going to take us to come together and stop that barrel from rolling down. So I had this music, and I thought of it as a capsule that I would bury for the future. So when these kids that are growing up now actually take it and listen to it and visualize the music video and everything that comes along with it, they can say, okay, this was where we was at, and right, we're definitely not there now. So what are we going to do about it? So it was like an action call for me.
I like that. I like the idea of the time capsule concept. I mean, that's exactly what we can do with the music you just referenced, Bob Marley, and otherwise. One of your comments, or I guess, you know, quotes that stands out to me from one of your songs is, if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. And it's just a perfect line that it embodies exactly where we are right now. You know, you got to have the courage to stand up for these things, or you will fall for what they're trying to put in front of you. You know, it's
exactly.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other things I always want to point out in regard to people in your position is people need to understand, a lot of people on certain sides of this argument will try to argue that one might try to get into fighting against this or standing up against that because it's advantageous, or it's, you can make money from it. But the reality is quite the opposite. People, and maybe you can speak to that, people in your position that are willing to stand up for this specifically today are being attacked. You're not being played. You're being removed from different platforms. It's just like we are, by the way, in the music industry. And this is what we always need to recognize. The doctors, the scientists, and the musicians that are standing up for you right now, there's no benefit to that. They are being attacked. You know, so maybe you can speak on that for me.
Yeah, it's terrible. And the worst thing about it now is that people are attacking me, calling me the N-word. And to me, that's disappointing, because the song was never, none of the songs were never about any race or any color. It's about everybody.
Right.
Because now is the time that we need to unite.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if that's not what we're going for, then I'm not with you. If we're not preaching now that unity is strength, because that's what they want. They want us to divide. They want us to divide by color, by race, by creed, by gender. I don't care what color anybody is or what gender. We have to rise up now, because that's where the power is. The power is in unity. It's not in us dividing and trying to define who I am or who he is. No, that's not where it is. And that's not where we should be. We should be in a place of unity where everybody sees that they're the ones that are pushing the race card. They're the ones that are pushing the gender card. They're the ones that are pushing every single division or every divisive thing that is out there is not from us. It's from them.
I agree completely.
Right? And we need to wake up and stand up. Get up, stand up. Stand up strong and fight this, because I'm not going to accept this. This is the hill that I will die on. Yeah. So if I have to die, if I'll never have a career that I've dreamed of from I was 17, then okay, fine. My children are worth more than my dreams right now. My dream is for them to be free and for them to have the choice to choose. I don't have a problem with somebody choosing to take something. That's fine with me. Take whatever you want. But you should have the choice to.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is.
That's exactly the premise of what, you know, their upcoming rally on the 24th. And a lot of things, it's about people having the choice for themselves. And that's one of the things that you can see this contrast of is, you know, there's people on all sides of all arguments that are going to be, you know, polarized and extreme. But in most of the community we're talking about, people aren't saying, well, you can't do that, or you shouldn't, you know, that you make the choice. If you want to wear the mask, you want to get that dangerous thing, that's up to you, right? On the other side of it, it's being forced on everybody with no exception, you know, and that, and I, so it's a lot of respect right there for, you know, and this is that same point I'm just making, right? You putting what you believe in ahead of what you may be striving for career-wise or anything else, because this is what matters most. You know, there's a lot of respect there. So I appreciate that. Now
Yeah, exactly. And for me, I mean, that choice is essential. And if the government really wants us to trust them, Why not be open? Why not just give us the choices and let us all work together to make this happen? Whatever you want to happen, we don't have a problem because we're not all scientists. We're not all politicians. We're not all educated. But if everything is open for everybody to see, and if you're really concerned about the health of people, or if you're really concerned about the well-being of everybody, shouldn't we try to make sure that everybody is on board and enlighten them and educate them, bring them with us? We're not leaving anybody. They want to leave us. I'm 100% sure of that because they don't like what I'm saying right now.
Right.
But I mean, come on. You really want the nation to come together to do this and do whatever you want, then okay, come on. Enlighten everybody.
It speaks to your other point, is obviously, and this goes far before COVID-19, is that the last thing that they want is people to cross party lines, to cross racial lines, to realize that coming together, we can do anything, right? I mean, there's a lot of examples throughout history that if we cross those lines, we are in control. And that's exactly why their main point from far back as you want to look, is keeping people divided along those lines and pointing at each other instead of the person who is making that division happen.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what they want. They want to divide us. That's the greatest power that they have, is division, because it's to divide and rule. That's their plan.
Right.
And people not recognizing that now it has gone way beyond just dividing race. Are dividing gender. Now we're divided vax, anti-vax. I won't take the vax, but I'm not anti-vax.
Right.
I'm just anti-stupidity.
Exactly. That's one of the great points we see throughout this, is the absurd, polarized, broad brushing concepts. Like, didn't we all used to pretend that broad brushing entire groups of people is ignorant, possibly racist, but not in this context? You know, it's just hypocritical. It always has been, right?
Yeah. Nah, definitely. And it's astonishing how many stuff they're getting away with.
Mm.
It's astonishing.
Yeah.
The psychological part about it is that they're purposely giving us the stupidest concept ever. Because I think there is a part of Hitler's rule that was, he made the lie so big and so grander and so stupid that it's so difficult for an intellectual person to sit down and think, nah, they could not be doing this. It makes no sense.
That's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. It's almost counterintuitive. Like, well, it's so ridiculous that they couldn't lie about that. We would all know it was a lie, right? So it's like, it doesn't make even make sense. But there's a lot of propaganda tenets like that. You know, a lie repeated, right, becomes repeated enough becomes the truth. These are all classic concepts that our government and a lot of governments today have been using over and over long before COVID-19. Well, since we're talking about COVID-19 and where we are, where what your music lately has been focused on, the freedom and the choice around that, what do you see that stands out in this whole process since this has started that seems the most illusory to you, that seems like an illusion, a manipulation? What's the first thing that stands out to you in this whole thing?
To be honest, everything. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that makes sense.
Right.
Nothing makes sense to me. When this all started, right, I was not a health enthusiast, right? I wasn't so focused on health. But now they've drawn my attention to the whole stupidity of everything that I've actually started going to school to learn to be a naturopath.
Nice.
A naturopathic doctor, because I see in where I can't trust my personal doctor anymore. I have to be my own doctor now. And I have children, I have two kids, I have two daughters that I have to take care of. And I'm not going to bring them and let somebody dictate to me how these children should grow or how they should be led to healthy, to a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
It doesn't. Well, I can't.
It's about self responsibility, right?
Exactly. We have to take that. That is the goal now, is to become self reliant.
Yes.
Not dependent on the system, but self reliant.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say, which, by the way, was always the focal point of what, I guess, the foundational concept of Americans was supposed to be about. The idea, in any sense, of a free society, right? It's about self-responsibility. Not that you can't listen, you can listen to what they're telling you, but you make your own decision. That used to be the way we believed in it, but it's been aggressively driven the other way. So I really appreciate that you've taken the time to learn for yourself. That's what we all should be doing, and we always should have been doing.
No, exactly. And not only that, but if we're going to go off the grid,
right,
then we have to have doctors, we have to have plumbers, we have to have construction workers, we need everybody, we need dentists, we need doctors, right, we need pilots, we need everybody. Because when we actually grow off the grid, because that's the future is we the people that decide that we want to be free, we're going to go off the grid, we're going to have to create our own societies. We're going to need politicians. We're going to need people that has actually studied the law and have actually studied the concept of politics.
Yes.
Because we're going to need these people. Because if we're going, we have to go off the grid because we can't live here. Mm-hmm. This is, it's not possible for us to live here and not do what they want.
Right.
It's impossible. We have to go off the grid. We have to create our own societies. We have to create our own communities. And to do that, we need people that are educated in every single field of this present society, that we can bring them there, that we can structure our own government and our own society and our own healthcare system and our own medical system, right, so to speak.
Completely agree. That's correct. That is the primary focal point for me, like that we're going to speak about at the rally and everything else, is that if they're driving, I mean, look, we looked at multiple hospitals or let's just put it this way, multiple positions, whether nurse, doctor, scientist, where we're seeing between 40% and 50% of people that are being fired or being forced out. That's half the country or half the world, if you will. For only 44%, as I understand it, of the world is currently injected. So there's more than half the world that is being forced away. So we need to lean into that and realize, like I was saying a moment ago, we always should have been doing this. We need to be self-reliant, create our own counter-economies, counter-societies, peer-to-peer economies. I couldn't agree more. And we need to lean into this for sure.
Of course, because definitely at the end of the day, they're going to lose. Because they have just thrown away half of their educated population.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to come on our side. So when we're ready to build these societies, we already have those people because they have already dismissed them. They have already fired them and have already labeled them as conspiracy theorists and as fake doctors. Because Trudeau said it last week. He said, oh, these are fake doctors and fake nurses. But they're educated in the same damn school that your so-called non-fake doctors are. They were all licensed by the same board.
Right. They're fake by because they have the wrong opinion. That's all it is.
Exactly.
Backed up by peer-reviewed science. Doesn't matter. You hold the wrong opinion, you're now fake or debunked. It's childish.
Exactly. And seeing that, it makes me happy. Yeah, do that. Fire them because you're losing.
Yeah.
You're losing them. Yet you educated them. They went to your school. They read from your textbooks. And now you're dismissing them as fake. Then your school was fake. Your textbooks were fake. What's fake about them?
It's so ridiculous they even use the word fake, which is your point. Like, what's fake exactly? They all did the same. It's just so silly because they want people to think, you know what it is? It ties in with fake news. It's easy and comfortable for them. They go, oh, it's all fake. It's, you know, it's childish. It seems ridiculous to me that they keep driving
exactly
in
things
we can prove in real time are absolutely false. They don't want to hear it.
It's like the 6-year-old, you're telling them, no, if you do that, you'll get hurt. No, I don't care. I want it. That's what they're doing.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
They're the children, not us.
I agree completely.
Yeah, but there's no way that you can tell me and you can label a doctor as fake, then why didn't you license him in the first place? Why did you give him the license in the first place? You gave him the license because he regurgitated everything that you wanted. But the moment he started to critically think and used the science that you taught him against you, then he became fake.
Exactly. You know what's funny about that? It rings true with what I say about Patreon, or rather what Patreon admitted. They said in the letters they sent to Whitney Webb and myself that, well, you are allowed to talk about these topics, but you can't spread misinformation. Okay, so that means that it only becomes misinformation when you prove what you're saying. See, because you can just rattle off things, but as soon as you prove it, that becomes misinformation. Same point, same thing. It's across
the board. As long as you're going against the narrative that they're pushing, then you're fake.
Right.
You're a conspiracy theorist. Exactly. Until that conspiracy theory becomes something that they need to push their agenda, then it's no longer a conspiracy theory. Then it's mainstream media.
Well put. Exactly.
Which we have seen multiple times throughout this whole pandemic, right?
Yep.
We've seen in where things have been labeled conspiracy theory, and then as soon as it helps their narrative to be pushed forward, then, maybe they were right.
I don't know. They never say that. They skip right past giving credit to those who've been pointing it out for 6 months, right? Well, they're still fake and wrong, but here's the same thing, right?
No, and that's why I have been a fan of yours for so many, from the beginning, because I never knew Ryan Christian before the pandemic. They forced me to know you, and I was so thankful to find you, because you brought people who were critically thinking and who were in the same mindset as I am, and it inspired me to enroll to be a doctor, to try to help my family and help my wife and help my wife's family and help my children to be healthy. And not only that, but then I also realized that if we're going to have to go off grid, you need people to be educated. You need these people. You need police officers who knows the rule of law. You need lawyers who also know the rules of law. You need politicians who knows the functionality of politics. And you need psychologists who know how to structure a society to keep the people within the society sane, right? Mm. These are all things that we need. We need plumbers. We need construction workers to build our own societies. And they're already pushing them out. So even though they might not be on our side now, by the time they're finished, we will have 50% of them guaranteed.
I can't tell you how much it means to me my work triggered you to do that. That's fantastic. And I would argue, too, that I agree with everything you said, but to a much lesser degree, the politicians and police and all that. But the other side of it, the doctors, the plumbers, that's what I'm talking about.
I understand.
But you make
I understand.
You make a great point. No, there's a valid point to have them included for what they understand, for sure.
Of course, because at least we can know how to govern the violence within our community.
Right. Well, and to your point, it's about unity. It's about unity, right? Everybody's welcome.
Of course, because they're humans too.
Right.
Even if the things that they have learned might not be significant in what this new society that we're going to create will have need for. Maybe we don't have need for that. Because the only reason why we become violent is because we have been brainwashed to be that way. If you starve something or starve an animal, the animal will become violent because the animal is hungry and it's going to go there and get violent to seek that food if you withhold it from it.
Right.
Right? So in this society that we want to build, we don't want to withhold anything from anybody. So there will be no need for anybody to steal because there will be an abundance for everyone. Right? And that's one of the psychological ploys that they have used against us, is to have scarcities in certain communities to allow the people not to have that opportunity to have those essential needs. And it allows them to think, okay, if I can't get it freely, then I'll steal it. If there's no opportunity for me to work for it, then I'll steal it, and I'll rob for it, and I'll kill for it.
Yeah.
If that doesn't exist, then of course we don't need police. We don't need politicians.
Yep. But to your point, their education and what they understand is still valuable to building another.
Exactly. Exactly. Because they have a psychology of what can happen if we create a society of
good point.
A society of needs, a society where not enough opportunities are available. Then people will become thieves and robbers. But that is orchestrated.
Yes.
People didn't become thieves and robbers just off of their own fruition. They became that way because somebody manipulated their environment, that they had to become like that to survive.
Yeah. I mean, I think this points to the culprit behind all of the manipulations, the powers that be, the governments out there. I see them all ultimately the same, just power hungry seeking entities. But let's bring this back to the music for a minute and talk about some of the other groups, because I know you not only are making your own music, but you also have a production company where you are helping other musicians do the same and in Jamaica and elsewhere, right? So if you want to speak on that for a minute and some of the other groups that you've helped rise up in the same mindset.
Well, yes. Well, for a couple of years, I've had my own production company. I've had my own record label because I'm an independent artist throughout the whole thing. And I have helped many other artists, many big artists from Jamaica. I've also produced like John Mason and Christopher Martin and many others. And I mean, that's my thing. I love music. I create my own music as well, because even Freedom, I played all the instruments on the music itself.
Nice.
And I wrote the song. I voiced myself. I mixed it. I mastered it. I did the video myself. I did the editing on the video. Me and my wife did the... My wife is the cameraman. So, I mean, it's all done by me and by me and my wife in terms of the video, but in terms of the audio, it's all me. And this is just my passion. I mean, my mother was also a musician and a singer. And she inspired me. She's not here with us now, but she inspired me. I wish if she was here now to actually see the success that it's bringing and it's going to bring, but she's not here, but she left a legacy of knowledge for me, and I think she gave me my vocal skills. So, and now, I mean, you have also introduced me to some of your music, and I'm very impressed by it, and I know we're trying to come together for us to work together, for me to produce some of your music too. And I mean, people need to know that you're a very talented guy. You're not only a journalist, but you're also a very talented musician, as far as I've heard. You're a good singer. And the guitars that you played on that track that you sent to me, oh, wow. So, I mean, you're not only a singer, you're a musician as well. So, I mean, people can look forward to in the future. We'll be definitely working together, and that's definitely something that they can actually look out for in the future, that Sivad and Ryan will put something out together, especially one particular song that we have already discussed, which I won't mention here, but that song will definitely, we're going to work on that, and people can actually look forward to seeing Ryan singing and playing some guitars. it's phenomenal.
Well, thank you. I can't even tell you how much that means to me, Sivad. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, I think this is a good place to leave it in general, on the concept that it's all about the community, right? I mean, what you're talking about, what I think your mother, if was still here, would be the most proud about is the fact that your work is driving people together, and it's making them realize that there's a community out there that they might not be aware of, you know? So it's just a powerful thing. And I want people to understand what you're putting at risk to do this, and that you're continuing to do so. And hopefully they'll reach out and support you and your music and everything else. And yeah, and look forward to stuff that we're working on in the future. So thank you so much.
Exactly.
Oh, go ahead.
And there's one thing that I want to say before I leave. Mm-hmm. I did so many different kinds of music, but my mother always gravitated to the music that was fighting for the people, and the music that she heard, and that she could say, yo, yeah, I felt that. I could feel the poverty in that. I could feel you uplifting me out of whatever trials and tribulations that I was facing at the time. And that music did that for me. And she saying that to me shifted me, because I didn't start out singing only music of upliftment, but I also did party music and dancing and for the girls and whatever, because that's how we started. We wanted to impress the ladies and whatever. But she always liked the ones that uplifted people, and she always came in the studio, because my studio was always at home, and she would always hear the music, and she'd always, when there's that one song that was really uplifting and was really for the people, should always come in and say, hey, I like that one. That's the one that you need to push. That's the one that I think will gravitate with the people. And I've brought that with me until now. And I know she'll have enjoyed freedom. I'm 100% sure.
I love it. I love it. I mean, that's exactly, we're doing the right thing for the right reasons. That's exactly why we're here, man. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. Look out for more coming from both of us, and I'm sure more music coming from Travad in the near future. So as always, Everybody out there, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Freedom is the possession of those who will fight for it. It's love over fear, the choice is mine. The courage to defend it is all that's required. David was this Goliath in the end. Right now, them struggling with Ina. Every time I read, I'm a gleaner. Propaganda I push by the media. Right now, critical thinking gone through the window. We in a lockstep and the people, them just not realize. When I wake up now, the youth, them don't want the future. Ha! Babylon, them wants it with that. They don't want it, we live up and try. Them a push American apartheid. Them a try for divide us. But we can't make them win this fight, yeah. Almighty Jah, I feel we guide us. Freedom is the possession of those who will fight for it. It's love over fear, the choice is mine. The courage to defend it is all that's required. David versus Goliath in the end.
Yo! I'm better magazine than one, yeah. Now make no friend, no sponsor. Your truth can't top this speech, yeah. My freedom of speech, you will never can conquer.
Me get the truth for come talk up, even if you crucify me.
Even with my last breath, mega talk up.
This truth, your truth just can't stop. It's about time for the people them wake up and put on the brainwash education and rise up. A time the people wake up, yeah.
Rise up, my people.
Freedom is the possession of those who will fight for it. It's love over fear, the choice is mine. The courage to defend it. It's all that's required. David versus Goliath in the end.
Watch out now.
Good over evil, that we are praying now. Love will always conquer the evil. Make up on the fear no people.
Unity are the strength that we need now.
We have to rise up. We have to wise up.
For the youth, then we have to go rise up.
can't make them divide us. Loving needs a must. We can't depend on politicians to become governors. They got no love for us, constantly betraying us. We got to rise up now once they say that it's up to us. Freedom is the possession of those who will fight for it. It's love of a fair, the choice is mine. The courage to defend it is all that's required. David was this Goliath in the end. Freedom is the possession of those who will fight for it. It's love over fear, the choice is mine. The courage to defend it is all that's required. David was this Goliath.